From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Jackie Lydon. The Bush administration this weekend waged a multi-front offensive in support of beleaguered Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. The White House and the Pentagon moved following a week in which six retired generals called for Rumsfeld to step down. By week's end, a seventh, Wesley Clark, a former NATO commander and 2004 candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, joined the chorus. Complaints from the generals, including former field commanders in Iraq, range from claims that Rumsfeld distorted intelligence in the run-up to the war in Iraq, to his response to the brutality of prisoners at Abu Ghraib, to his management style. Friday, President Bush fired his own salvo in Rumsfeld's defense. He did so in a written statement rather than in front of cameras and microphones. Rumsfeld took to the cameras in his own cause during a visit to the Middle East in an appearance on El Arabiya.
I intend to serve the president at his pleasure. And the fact that two or three or four retired people have different views, I respect their views, but obviously if out of thousands and thousands of admirals and generals, if every time two or three people disagreed, we changed the Secretary of Defense of the United States, it would be like a merry-go-round.
Also Friday, the Pentagon sent an email to a group of former military commanders and civilian analysts, many of whom frequently appear on weekend news programs. The memo cited Rumsfeld's regular meetings with the Joint Chiefs and his frequent contacts with field commanders. NPR Pentagon correspondent John Hendren joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming in today, John.
Good morning, Jackie.
Let's start with this memo that went out last Friday. What's in it and who did it go to?
Well, I just talked to a Pentagon spokesman about that, and he describes it as a fact sheet because he says a lot of the generals don't have their facts straight. And the point of it is to describe all of the opportunities that Rumsfeld had to meet with generals since 2001. And in the Pentagon's take on this, he's actually stepped up the engagement between military and the top civilians in the Pentagon. He says that Rumsfeld has tried to create a more collaborative process, and he did that by creating two groups. One's called the Senior Leadership Group, which involves him and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and top civilians at undersecretary above. He also created a group called the Defense Support Group, and that's the nine combatant commanders throughout the globe. And they meet three times a year for 3 days each. He set both of these groups up. And the Pentagon's take on that is that this suggests one of the ways in which he's been more open. This went out to generals who are considered analysts, who make TV appearances. We don't have a lot more information than that.
Anything unusual about the timing of this fact sheet?
Well, the Pentagon spokesman says the memo itself is not unusual, that this sort of thing happens all the time. But the timing is clearly critical. The spokesman says that this whole issue is not a distraction. But it's clear they're keenly aware that these guys have appeal. I mean, these are generals, after all, who have a sort of red state appeal that the other critics you hear in Congress and elsewhere don't have. And I think to some extent, this is the greatest threat that Rumsfeld has faced since Abu Ghraib.
The Pentagon email noted that there are about 8,000 active duty and retired general officers alive today, and Mr. Rumsfeld has made that point as well. I guess the implication is that only a handful have spoken out. So I think it is a legitimate question as to whether or not this is blown out of proportion, although some of those commanders, as we might note, were intimately involved in planning and supervised the engagement in Iraq.
Yeah, I was interested in that number 8,000 because I looked up the number on Friday, and there were 881 sitting generals and admirals, which suggests that there are a whole lot of them who are retired and still alive. I can't combat that number, but it just struck me as rather high. That said, numerically, the Pentagon is right. There aren't a lot of top generals who have spoken out. But what's interesting here is that these guys don't speak out in general at all. And there are some very key people who have spoken out. Two of them were combatant commanders in Iraq under Rumsfeld, Army Major General John Batiste and Army Major General Charles Swanick. Each of them commanded a division. There was a top Iraqi trainer, Army Major General Paul Eaton, and a guy who was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the war planning, Lieutenant General Gregory Newbold. So these aren't just any guys. These are people who had a close-up knowledge of the war planning.
Hasn't there been friction between Donald Rumsfeld and the military establishment almost from his first day on the job?
Yeah, there was, especially with the Army. Early on, Rumsfeld killed one of their pet programs, the Crusader Artillery Program. He replaced Tom White, who was the Army Secretary at that time and a real defender of the Crusader, among other things. He appointed an Army chief of staff out of retirement, which suggested that all of the generals existing in the Army at that time weren't good enough for him in that job. And that ticked off a lot of people in the Army. There was then friction over the size of the Iraq invasion, and a lot of since then, these generals have raised a lot of criticism about what happened after that.
And hasn't there also been a history of tension, or it's constructive tension sometimes, perhaps, between civilian leaders and uniformed commanders at the Pentagon?
Yeah, there's always been constructive criticism, but the issue here, I think, is whether there will be a sequel to this book that H.R. McMaster wrote. The title has escaped me at the moment. What is it?
I want to say defense, but it's about learning from your mistakes.
Will come to me. It's a book on the Vietnam War that spoke about how the top American generals failed to combat the advice on what they felt was a failed war plan. It ended up executing a plan created by civilians that they simply didn't believe in.
And there have been a couple of offers by Donald Rumsfeld to resign. Do you think that's going to happen?
You know, I think it's highly unlikely that he's going to resign on his own. First of all, he's taken a stand and said he's not going to. The president has taken a stand and said he's not going to allow this to happen. I think it would require the kind of outcry that you heard when Harriet Myers was nominated for the Supreme Court, and you'd need to have some congressional support for that.
Well, thank you very much again, NPR Pentagon correspondent John Hendren. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Jackie.